mode, wasn't it? He's getting through the announcements today. All right. While you're given, you can give your Bibles. We do two things at once. I know we're, you know, it's difficult sometimes. But if you have your Bibles, open up to, I have so much I want to get through, and I'm trying to think where I want to start. Oh, we got plenty of time. Let's open to Lamentations chapter 3. I'm going to start there. That's the one. And as we're doing this, you know, every year we think about new year, year ending, old years, all this stuff. I just want to share something. One of the things I don't like, I don't like the whole we live by a calendar year mentality. You know, a new year, new everything we got to come up with. Everyone's already coming up with fancy cliches like 2020 vision. And those are not bad, but I'm not picking them at all. Matter of fact, they're very good. We always got to come up with a new vision for a new year. I just want you to know, our new year started in September. In October, when we started releasing the vision that God's put on this church, is hard. And I believe that that season began, and we are been renewed. We had some great couple different leader meetings to release the vision. And I think our new year actually started, our season of what God's bringing us into actually was being birthed in October, November, and we're going to see some awesome things happen here in this following year. If you have not been here, you've missed it. If you've been here, you cannot hear, there's no way you've not heard the passion that Kenny has brought forth the last couple months, even myself. I guess the theme of compassion has just been driving us to a point of pounding those streets and going to Walmart and going out and doing things and letting the kingdom get out of this church and reaching people for God. If that's not burning in you yet, you know what? You're going to hear more about it. I've been here since 1997 when the Lord called me to Martinsville, Indiana, and it's odd because, what's wrong? Is my car wrong, honey? I'm sorry. Oh, it's stuck? Okay. Thanks. Okay. And I met her in 97, and then it's been joy ever since. But we've had an awesome 22 years, and we're going into our 23rd year of being in Martinsville. And I'm telling you, I believe that Tim shared, I don't know how long ago Tim shared this in a leadership meeting. I mean, 5 or 6 years ago. But if Spirit of Life Church closed their doors today, would the community know that we left? And we need to make a bigger and better impact in our community around us. And I believe that some of the things that Kenny's going to share next Sunday morning about our vision for the year isn't just, by the way, spiritual. We have physical. We have goals, and we want to hit these goals. And we want to believe that God's going to do greater things to come. But as we are looking at a new year, we're closing out a chapter of an old year. And I look at this, it's funny because today in prayer, I wrote this in my notes earlier in the week. I really did not want to do this message. I was really kind of hoping to get out of the cliche of year-end, new beginnings. But you know what? As I kept going throughout the week, the Lord just led me to this passage right here in Lamentations 3. So we're going to hit this in a second. But here's what, I don't know if you guys ever watch TV, but if you do, whether it's ESPN, whether it's news, whether no matter what it is, they want to go ahead and put the year in review. Every time I turn on, best plays in of football in 2019, worst plays in football, best basketball, and they give all the highlight reel of the entire, and you can watch on the news. You can watch all the highlights and be careful what news you watch because you know what good news on one channel is bad news on another. I just want you to know, watch them both. You're going to find out that their highlights in one are negative on the other, and you swap them. Just depends on what channel you watch. And so there have been so many highlights that we look back and we live our life always looking at the moments in the past. But I just really believe that those are not bad sometimes. But at the same time, we ought to have a mindset to start looking forward to what God's about to do. An anticipation with an expectation. And there's a lot of things in the past that's happened where we've been pulled away. And there's this year, we've had a couple weddings in this year. I see them both right here. We had some funerals this year. There's been change in our lives. There's been moments that have changed the course of the way we're going to live forever from this day. And these are great moments, and we want to capture them. And some are sad moments that we want to learn to move forward from and grow a new beginning from that. But either way, we're caused to change at all times, not just because 2019 ends and 2020 begins. But because of that, we're going to talk about this right here. And so in Lamentations 3, let's start at verse 17. And this is remember, the book of Lamentations. Remember the word lament. It's not a happy book. This is about a weeping prophet who's just weeping some more. It's about a time of lamenting over things, over bad things happening in their life. And so the first few verses are not very positive. I mean, he says, well, I'm afflicted, I'm down, it's horrible. If you look at even verse 16, before you broke my teeth with gravel stones and covered me with ashes. I mean, verse 17, they removed my soul far off from peace. This is somebody who is struggling with where they're at in life. And some of us might be in that room right now. Then we're going to get to a different chapter later on that's going to give the exact opposite. We've had a triumphant year. Every time we talk about a new beginning, it doesn't mean it's because something bad has happened. You know what really would be great? Is we end 2019 in the highest note you've ever been, and expecting greater in 2020. Why is it every time we think of a new beginning, we think of something bad to something good? How about something good to something gooder? Just throw it out there. Why not something to even good to gooder to goodest? Why not have our escalate in goodness? I'll keep making up words until you get it, by the way. I won't keep making them up. Why not just go have expectation so ingrained in us that something good is going to happen? You know, I'm going to pick on him because I can and because he's here. It's fun. But you see, we have a little war going on between my son and my wife. It's hilarious because he's had a few routes of what he's calling, look at my ass, that's my luck. And she is just, look at her, shaking her head. She gave me the look. She's getting this look with him. It's funny because he's come, oh, just my luck. And she goes, would you stop speaking that over yourself? You know, there's a time, though, that we make those statements, and we might not mean the fullest. But I was listening to that this week a few times, by the way, as they went back and forth. I'm like, you know, when we start putting our expectation out there, you're going to get what you expect. When you start believing for good to come, you start, and this is the elements, the root element of healing. If you believe inside your gut that the Word of God clearly declares that Jesus is our healer and there is no other alternative, you will not compromise and you will not ever fade off of that point of view. But there's a lot of times that we believe He is our healer, but there's a little but in parentheses. But we live in a fallen world. Stop. Let's get your butts out of there and start just believing there's absolutely, I didn't mean it that way either. I didn't even mean it that time. I promise I didn't mean it that time. Normally I do, but I didn't. But let's get that out of here and start realizing there's an absolute truth right there that we need to start and put a period there rather than a comma. Because when you start getting that expectation in you for a healing to manifest, and yet something over here comes, even though it's natural wisdom, we do live in a fallen world, and sickness does exist. We're not Christian scientists. We're not other beliefs that we don't believe in the existence of it. I believe that sickness truly exists. I believe that sickness is real, but I do not believe it has the right to enter my body and stay here. Amen. And so when I believe that when something comes at me, I realize it's a foreign object. And it doesn't belong here. And there's nothing in me that's going to change that. No doctor report, no nothing, because I believe the Word of God trumps every other truth that this world lives in. Now, when you believe that in your gut, in your heart of hearts, you will not compromise from that, and you'll have your expectation fully upon that. And I guarantee you, I can't remember this because we just read it a couple weeks ago. Keith Moore said it. I've never seen, and could somebody, would you mind? I've never seen in all of his years of ministry someone who's not get healed. Yeah, if you get the word long enough in you, I've never seen someone not get their healing. We've got to get in the word. We've got to plug it in there. We've got to rebuild our expectation with truth. So our expectation just can't be some false hope out there that is pie in the sky. I think he's going to heal me. I'm hoping. No, build it with word. Sow in the word in you. That way your expectation continues to grow, and that builds faith inside of you. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Expectation. You build that with the word, you're not going to fail. But now all that's just kind of an extra. So when we start getting our mindset going in the new year, that's the kind of mindset, not just about healing, but about every aspect of your life. If you can grab a hold of what God has for you this coming year, and you don't waver, you don't pull back, and you have great expectation, when you don't see it coming, maybe you're praying for your family. Maybe you're praying for a loved one who doesn't know Jesus, and you're starting seeing the other way. Hey, you're going to let that move you? Not if the word's not moving. This hasn't moved. I mean, twice in the book of Acts, you and your household shall be saved. I'm going to stand on that. I'm going to believe household salvation for everyone in this associated with us today. I'm believing that no matter how far away from God they seem, the word of God says, where you and your household shall be saved. Hey, that's my prayer. Grab a hold of it. It's in the word. And so when we start getting our expectation out there, we have to feel it with a word. And that gives more. But when your expectation starts seeing the natural results of where you're at, you'll start deteriorating your faith and you'll start having compromise in there. You know, God's my healer, but man, I just can't get rid of this shoulder. Keeps coming back. All right, keep sowing the word in there. But whenever you let something get in there, it's going to block you from seeing the fullness of it. We've got to have that mindset going into 2020, not just because it's a new year, because I really believe that God wants us to walk in this. So back to Lamentations chapter 3. And this is, hey, Kenny, remind me, we need to get a clip for this. Okay. Verse 17. This is where he was at. Thou hast removed my soul far from peace. No peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength, who said it? He said it. It's not, my strength and hope is perished from the Lord. So the previous few verses that we read, he kept saying, you did this, you did this. I believe that our choices cause us to get isolated and away from the things of God, and we feel hopeless. We feel like we've lost the ability to prosper. I mean, when you look at verse 17, I have forgotten my prosperity. I forgot the goodness. I forgot God's goodness in my life. I've lost my peace. I lost my prosperity. I lost my strength. And my hope has perished. So if you're in that point today, and rather than getting down and frustrated, look at this next one. Remembering my affliction, my misery, the wormwood and gall, my soul has still in remembrance and has humbled me. This morning, I hope we come to a place of humility and realize it's time to stop making the choices in agreement with those things. Instead, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. What happened? A change of mindset. The thoughts and the things coming at him was going to stop at this point and change. And look at this. Verse 22 brings the hope out in the next few verses. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And because his compassion fails not. Just as we have that compassion that he's calling us to go out here with, he had that same compassion and drive and that loving kindness he has for us. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The verse I want to focus on this morning is that God's mercies and loving kindness is new every morning. Not just because January 1st is about to hit this Wednesday, but every single morning is a new day. It's a new beginning. His mercies and his mercy and his loving kindness, great is thy faithfulness. Every day you can count on a new realm of mercy. I want to share a quote with you that I grew up hearing pounded in my head as a child. But I feel like it's something that all week I've not been able to just push away. And it's something I believe for some of us in this room today. It says this, just because you can doesn't mean you should. My dad shared that growing up with me all the time. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. It's a principle in business. Believe it or not, it's a principle in training. Just because you can run 5 miles doesn't mean you should. Because some days you're supposed to train differently. So just because you can lift, I used to be able to lift a little more weight than I can now probably, but just because you can lift that much weight doesn't mean you should. Just because you can eat 5 cheeseburgers doesn't mean you should. Stop looking at me like that. It wasn't 5, by the way. It was like 3 or 4. It wasn't cheeseburgers either. It was that big old, oh, man. But just because you can doesn't mean you should. And when we get a mindset going in the new year, if his mercies and everything, his faithfulness is new every day, what if we grab the hold of his mercy being so real that just because we can go out, and you know what? You can sin as a Christian. It doesn't mean you should. Just be honest. You can, because his mercy is real. That covers my sin. Doesn't mean I should. You can go out and talk like the world, act like the world, look like the world. It doesn't mean you should. You can go out and spend money that you don't have. It doesn't mean you should. keeping up with the neighbors, keeping up with the Joneses, trying to always live up to something else. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because Chase says you can spend more doesn't mean you should. Or Discover. I mean, Discover just possibilities of all the things you can spend. And I have over my life, and I've made a lot of stupid decisions I'm still paying for. So just because you can, just because God's mercy is covering you doesn't mean you should go out and keep relying on mercy. Because the next, Hebrews chapter 4, when it talks about come boldly to the throne of grace that you might find mercy and receive grace, finding mercy is automatic. It's God's love for you. It's his forgiveness for you. It's his cleansing over your life, and it's automatic because he loves you. It doesn't mean we ought to keep testing. Why not go to the next phrase when it says, not only can you find mercy or receive mercy, but find grace in it. Grace is then the empowerment of God in you to stop doing those things. Grace isn't some cheap thing that comes. We have this message of cheap grace out there that oh, God's grace. It's not even the right word, by the way. It's mercy. Grace is the empowerment of God for you not to live that way. So when you go to the throne of God to receive the forgiveness and you go, Lord, I come before you and I thank you for your mercy. It's automatic. You don't got to beg for it. You don't even got to ask for it. You can thank him for it. Because that's his love for you. And you can say, Lord, thank you for your mercy that is covering over my sin. And the blood of Jesus covers me. It heals me. It cleanses me. And now give me the grace to live differently. Give me the empowerment to live a new life. That is his mercy's new every day. That is his grace giving you the empowerment to live a life of transformation. Not just going back to the same throne. And you know what? He still loves you. But isn't it great? We love him because he first, wouldn't it be great that we loved him so much that we stopped living that pattern of always relying on mercy but living in grace? Rather than relying on forgiveness and start living out a life of empowerment? It does weaken our spiritual state when we're constantly allowing those things in our mortal bodies. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. I don't know why that was so in my gut, and because it is now, as you can see, as I'm sharing with you. All week, that phrase has been in my mind, and it's for me, too. I was up till 4:30 this morning, I know, going through my budget for 2020 and going through a bunch of things spiritually. I was running on, and I couldn't even go to bed. I was just so, I'm like, wow, it's 4:30. I probably should go to bed today. But, you know, I did. I went to bed about 5. And so, but I couldn't stop because I'm looking forward to a new year and I'm setting out some goals and some, as a matter of fact, I started telling her, like, was it 1 o'clock you went to bed? 1:30, 2 o'clock, I don't know. And she's looking at me in the kitchen like, oh, would you shut up? I got to go to bed. I'm like, well, I was looking at this right here and I was getting, she's like, oh my gosh, if you don't shut up, I got to go to sleep. You, people like you, you know, you want to get her annoyed, get her talking about 1 o'clock in the morning. She wants to, I get those eyes like I'm getting right now. How do you just need to shut up so I go to bed? That comfy sheets and pillow calling your name, and I just have no competition. I can't even compete with those. Either way, I get excited about things like this because just because I can do what I did this year doesn't mean I shouldn't make some changes to be better next year. His mercy covers you. His grace empowers you to live a new life. Now let's, on the flip side, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. And this is something that I could really get excited about if I wasn't excited before. Philippians chapter 3 is Paul's testimony. He's kind of bragging on God quite a bit, by the way. I mean, first he gives his pedigree, and I'm going to try to cut to the chase here. He gives his pedigree of what all the things he's done in the natural realm. The first, you know, I was born the right tribe. I was circumcised on the right day. I was the man. I even was a student under the great philosophers and teachers at the time. Paul's like, if you want to talk about a man, I was the man. Paul says, right now, if you want to go and compare pedigrees, I've got one better than all of you. But this is what's great. Verse 7. But those which were gained in me, those I count lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowing the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. Let me just stop. There's a lot of great things you can do in the world. There's a lot of great accolades you can have. You know, every time I share something about a great testimony is I think of, you know, what Kenny's done to be here. The guy had a master's degree, had a great job, coaching, the kids loved him. And when I shared with him, I don't know how many years ago, it's been a while now, Kenny, I've been praying about this. Do you feel like, if you ever feel like led to come join us as a church, we could pray, we could just use you here. And I just been praying about this. And I know months went by as he shared the testimony even last year with y'all. Months went by. Then I got a phone call. He says, my heart is in the classroom right now. I can't see anything else right now. That's where my heart is. And then spring break the following year, I was delayed because I-75 was shut down and we were getting late at night and there's no way we're going to get I could have been back here by 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, been okay. But I called Kenny and said, hey, I know it's last minute, because you know he loves last minute stuff, right? Loves it. That's why we're sharpened ironing here. He just loves being around me. Hey, Kenny, can you get this done? Yeah, tomorrow. How about today? Nope. And that's his first word is no. Then sometimes he'll call back, you know, I think I can get it done. But either way, he said, I can fill in tomorrow. And that moment he filled in was a turning point because he got able to preach just the second week of what he was sharing earlier. And he went back in the classroom that Monday morning and realized his heart was in the pulpit. His heart, God changed to ready him. And you know, he gave up head of his department, master's degree, a retirement that is really good, doesn't exist here. He gave up a payroll. He gave up a lot of even security. They had to pray a lot about, is this really what we want to do? Could you guys imagine a church right now without him and her here? I couldn't imagine it. I couldn't imagine the fact that sacrifices. And when Amy had a full-time job at Mooresville Christian, and like, Amy, you're on, how much of a pay cut? How much am I going to do? And you know what? Those things weren't even issues. Yes, God's called me to do it. You can give up a lot of things, but when you do it for the kingdom, everyone prospers around you. And I believe the church is so blessed right now because we have people who are willing to make those sacrifices. And it doesn't matter the pedigree. It doesn't matter all the accolades you have outside there. When you call yourself and say, God, I want to do what you want me to do, there's blessing in that alone. And there's prosperity. There's hope. And there's an amazing. So you count all these things out there are lost when you get to know you're doing the will and the call of God in your life. Verse 9, that I might be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is derived from the law, but which is through the faith of Christ, righteousness, which is faith, which is the God of faith, by faith, that I might know him. And I don't have time to preach this because this is just one of my favorite verses. Actually, this is one of the most amazing things. Back about 25, 26 years ago, Kenneth Copeland did a series called The Something, 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 and the Glory. And he did, it was a long time ago, but he broke this verse down, and I never knew you could do like 10 cassette tapes, which the cassette tapes, and I still have it, by the way. I think Amy got a hold of those tapes, and they went home, right? They went home, Amy. She brought them to home, that little round container we call the dumpster. They're all there now. But anyways, but he had this, it was like The Fire, The Light, and The Glory or something. It's something like this, a catchy title. But I heard him talking about TV. I had to order them, so I got him in there. And he spent like 8 hours on just this one verse. There's so much power in here that we might know. That word is experience. Have an experiential, not just a head knowledge, but a heart experience that we might know him. And how do you know him? In the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and be made conformable to his death. And if by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead. Now I'm going to stop right there because I'm going to actually come back to verse 12 in a second. Paul had the exact opposite experience that we're talking about in Lamentations. He realized a change in his life. He went from something that was really good, something he was prospering in, something he was blessed in, but he knew God had called him to something greater, and then he's bragging about God. Not that I've already attained it, but I'm pressing on, he's about to say. Because not that I was doing anything bad. I was living good, but now I'm going to go to the best. And so as we press on to new seasons in our life, whether you're going through a trial like we just read about where your teeth were grinding out and you lost your peace, you lost your hope, you lost your, whether you're living in that place or you're like Paul over here who had all together, I believe God is calling all of us to press in, to go deeper, to go greater, to get more of a kingdom mindset rather than a natural mindset. A natural mindset helps the poor when there's people around or because I feel like it. A kingdom mindset is I'm ministering the poor wherever I'm at. Not just poor meaning money. It's poor in spirit, poor in health. We are ambassadors for Christ in such a way that we are representing him everywhere we go. And it's a mindset that has to shift. We're not just here to make more money and live a nice life on earth, even though that's good. It's not God's best. There's greater things in store for us and a church. So as you put your finger in Philippians, because we're not done, we're going to jump back to Isaiah chapter 42, and I want to read three verses there, then I'm going to come right back to there, okay? All right. If you don't want to turn, you don't, because we have a really good person that's doing the computer. He's talking about Jesus right here. This is a prophecy about Jesus, the root. This is the prophecy about Jesus, which a lot of it in Isaiah is. And he's talking about giving hope to, it doesn't matter. Let's just read this for the sake of time. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will hold thine hand and I will keep you. I will give you a covenant of the people for light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, you've all read this verse a billion times. The former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Jesus is coming, and the prophecy is about the hope that he's going to bring and the life he's going to bring for us. But did you see that? I, the Lord, have called you into righteousness. I will hold your hand. I will keep you, and I will make a covenant with you. The promise we have when we press forward to hit the mark isn't just that we're going to do it. We're not going to do it alone. We're not going to do it by ourselves, because we have a covenant with God who's going to empower us and strengthen us to fulfill this new vision, this new passion, which I'm about to get to in just a minute. Now flip back to Philippians chapter 3, and let's go to verse 12. Thanks for doing that. That was just a little bit of a text that I want to jump at. So Paul's saying this now. I just gave you my pedigree. I tell you that I want to know him more. I want to go deeper, and I want to experience the greatness of who he is, not as though I have yet attained it. Either we're already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I was apprehended of Christ. As he apprehended me, I want to go and I grab a hold of him even greater. Just as he knocked me off my horse or my donkey or whatever, he knocked me off on Damascus Road, blinded me, and he apprehended, he grabbed a hold of me, I want to go with that intensity back at grabbing a hold of him. Just the way he found me in my lost condition, I want to go and love him in the same. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, whether good or bad, reaching forth unto those things which are before. And probably one of my favorite top five verses in all the Bible, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This morning, I guess that's my passion, is we are setting a mark for you this last 3 months. In the next year to come, we're setting a mark out there that every one of us can fulfill something greater than we're fulfilling right now. The kingdom of God is, I believe, going to manifest in ways for saved souls, healings, miracles, signs, wonders, your gifts inside of you increasing with words of knowledge and wisdom, prophecy. I believe there's so many things stirring our hearts right now that we all have to choose today. I've not apprehended all I am. I've not gotten to the point where I want to be, whether it's good or bad, whether I've had a bad year or a good year, whether I've had good or bad happen, I have not, I'm going forward. I press forward. I'm not even going to look back for the good things. I'm going to celebrate the good things. I'm not going to look back at the bad things. I'm going to go ahead and let the mercy cover my path and let grace compel me forward. I believe God is gracing us today, going into this new season of vision and passion, that we are going to fulfill some things at this church that we've been dreaming about for over 20 years. Did you guys know there's a drug problem in Martinsville? There's a drug problem in almost every city in America. Are we ready to go and reach them where they're at? Well, brother, have you seen the addiction? Hold time out. I'm not looking at their condition. I'm looking at a God who saves. And there are people addicted to opioids, heroin, meth, and on out it goes. Are we going to be somebody who believes our God is greater than drugs? I'm going to. How about the ones that are sick? How about the ones in bondage? How about the ones that we just hate because we just don't like them because they're different political persuasion than I am? Can we believe that, hey, maybe God can change that too, right? We can pray him in. No. What if we had the ability to love and have compassion that Kenny has been awesome teaching these last couple months? I've tried to have a few myself. But the passion that he has up here, sharing those testimonies of people traveling all over the world, and the first thing they saw when they saw a guy in a wheelchair was, oh, poor thing, I wonder what happened. It was, give me a chance to pray for that guy. It's a mindset shift, isn't it? We're shifting the way we think about the way we view people. If someone's walking with a limp and going, oh, gosh, I wonder what happened with them, rather than, hey, chance for me to go bless them. The story about the one guy that was at a restaurant, and he prayed for him and prayed for him, and he said, don't pray for me again. How many years was the guy that in that condition blind? 67? Nobody's ever prayed for me in 67 years. That ministered more than the healing. Now, I believe still God wanted to heal, don't you? We all believe that. But just the fact that your act of faith to go out and your act of compassion ministers the heart and love of God to them in ways that we can't even express. And healing is even greater. But what if our mind changed? What if the way we view people around us changed? What if the way we view our family changed? Where all of a sudden we have this mindset that we're going to love and have compassion rather than be critical and judgmental. We go into a new year with a new vision, with a new mindset. And this church, in these four walls, we have set a course of three phrases that we're going to be operating in for this year and hopefully years to come. We're going to, for number one, we're going to honor God's presence. Number two is we're going to honor God's word. And number three is we're going to honor God's people. We're going to minister to the presence of God. The word will minister to you, and the people will be ministered to because of us. People can walk in this room every single Sunday morning. You already heard the vision released. Every single Sunday morning, we are going to have an altar time for every single person, every single week, to receive prayer if they want it. Something we've never done for the 27. We've had good ideas. We've tried it for a while. We've done this. But we're going to stay committed because God spoke to our heart to love people. And even if nobody comes up to these altars, we're still going to do it. Why? Because the opportunity needs to be there for people to be honored. I don't know what you walk in these doors with, but we're not going to let you go out there without an invitation to be prayed for. I don't know what you came in here, but we're not going to walk out of those doors without having some type of encounter with the presence of God. And we're not going to let you walk out of those doors without some type of encounter with his word. And that's the vision we're putting out for the year. And I'm excited about it. I think the last 2-3 months since we've released it, we're seeing more of it. I mean, the freedom and the excitement, I think it's exciting. So a couple things we're pressing on to. I think I shared all my notes, except for the last point. Worship team, come on up. We're good. And I beat it. I beat the time. I'm pretty excited. It's a milestone for me. 3 minutes. So here's the thing I'd like to close with today. I pressed towards the mark. Where's the mark at? We're going to give you a lot of that next week because Kenny's going to be sharing quite a bit. And I know who all is sharing what. But we're going to set some goals out there this year. I want to see people that have written testimonies of being healed, of being saved, being free of their lifestyles they're in. I want to see it, I want to walk in it, and I want to believe as a church we're going to do better at this. We're going to fulfill the verse that Kenny just quoted earlier about Acts 10:38. For God anointed Jesus with the Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and power, what? Doing good, healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God's with us today to empower us to the same thing, to go out and to do these very things that he was called to do. Winning people. Do you think drug addicts are oppressed by the devil? 100%. Do you believe that sickness is of the devil? Yes. Then that means if someone's sick, are they getting oppressed? Yes. It's sin of the devil. It wasn't of God. That means they're being oppressed by the devil, by their own choices they're making. Yes, I know that. Oh, they made the choice to be there. I'm not arguing with you. But can't we help them make a choice to get out of it too? Can't we be the ambassador of good news and hope to these people? So next week, we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we're going to see God, I think, do some amazing things in 2020. However, there's one announcement I want to make with you that is something we've never done, and it's been years. I don't know, when did Jensen Franklin write that book about fasting? I forget, it was a long time ago. But every single January, his church does, I think, a 31-day. I think it's the whole month, isn't it?
21.
Okay, see, I was wrong. That's why they're here. So they did a 21-day fast every single year, and they just fast. We believe that this year, we're going to do it. Starting next Monday. Why? Because we're going to have church here, and afterwards you're going to go out and eat like just a normal person. Because you're going to enjoy your deal. They're going to have dinner. You might even have a midnight pizza snack for all I care. But guess what? On Monday morning, we're going to start a church fast. Fasting literally means omitting things in our lives by fasting those things. Most people, it is food, yes. And that's the one we're going to try to push for me personally. There's different types of fasts. There's vegetables only. There's water only, liquid only. Anything you get through a straw. One guy told me back about when I did I forget how long that fast was. I think it was 20-something days. He goes, anything you get through a straw. He's amazing what a blender will do, by the way. I just want you to know that. Blenders are magical when you have that. And I realized afterwards I'm drinking everything through the straw going, am I cheating really? Did I just miss the whole idea of this? But either way, I don't know what the fast will look like for you. We're not going to tell you how to fast. We're just going to ask you to join with us and fast. And what we're praying in the fast for is a couple things. One is believing that God is going to empower us to fulfill the vision that we're called to. But more importantly, I believe, and Diane shared with me last week, and I told her, I was a text or whatever. I was so stirred by the word she gave me. That's it. I believe not just, we know what we're going to do. We've heard it for 3 months. But you know what we need? Wisdom. What is wisdom? It's the application of knowledge. It's the knowing how to do. Knowledge is the knowing how, but the wisdom is applying it. How do we apply it in every aspect of this church? How do we apply it in our lives? So it's not just a church fast. It's a personal fast. Some of the things we just shared about, forgetting those things, and not just going forward blindly, but going forward with vision and passion, asking the Lord for 21 days, Lord, give me wisdom and how to fulfill what you call me to do. Isn't just, I know he's called me to do it. That's how we fail. New Year's resolutions. I'm going to work out every day of my life for eternity, and I'm going to lose 400 pounds. Good, 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 good. How? How? Knowledge is good, but wisdom gets you there. We're going to pray that God would give us strategies. How to win the lost. How to win these people. Where to go to get them. Where we should do this. And how we should change things in the midst of it. Because when we know how to do it, we're going to be more effective at doing it because he's going to show us how. And he's never going to tell us something that doesn't work. So I'm going to believe with you that God's going to give us strategies, wisdom, and revelation on how to fulfill the mandate that God's calling this church to do for the next season ahead of us. So in the back of your mind, enjoy this week. Eat up. If you've been craving a steak, get one this week. Or I don't care how you do it. I don't. But I care. Join with us to fast and pray for strategies of how God is going to cause this vision to come to pass. Amen? If you stand with me today.